Hi, I'm Dr. Henry Black. I'm a clinical professor of internal medicine at the Langone NYU Medical Center in New York City, former president of the American Society of Hypertension, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Dr. Keith Ferdinand. Keith?
Yeah, well, as you know, Henry, I'm now back at Tulane. I'm a professor of clinical medicine there, and I'm also chair of the National Forum for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention. I can tell you what that is later.
What do you think are the main things that are bothering cardiologists these days?
Well, cardiology is a broad field, and many of us are not sure exactly where we're going to fit as healthcare starts to reform. I think it's important that cardiologists embrace prevention. Controlling risk factors is probably one of the best things that we can do. And the decrease in strokes and heart attacks we've had since the 70s has not just been because of our procedures. Well, maybe it helped a little. It's mainly been control of blood pressure, lowering lipids, use of aspirin for secondary prevention, discontinuation of smoking. So we need to embrace those changes.
For sure. You talked about reducing procedures. I've looked at some recent statistics, and procedures are going down. Women are dying less than they were. They have about the same drop in rates. I think the women red dress idea has really worked.
Yeah, I had on a red dress. I have on a gray suit now, and I took it off. I think that's important. Those are called disparities, where you have differences in the utilization of medicines and outcomes that are not predicted by any natural history. You also see disparities related to race and ethnicity.
Should we treat people differently, do you think?
Well, those are terms of art. It's not science. There is only one race, the human race. And genetically, we are all basically the same, but there may be nuances in how patients present and how patients respond to certain medications that maybe should be taken into account. For instance, ACE inhibitors, excellent medications. In the ALLHAT trial, the outcomes were not as good in the black population based on an ACE inhibitor regimen with lisinopril versus chlorothalidone versus amlodipine.
Was that a dose issue, do you think?
Well, I was on the Data and Safety Monitoring Board.
I was an investigator.
Yeah, we were told to use 40. Many people used 20 because back then they thought less was better. So they were enticed to go to a higher dose. But even with increasing doses, the 4 to 5 millimeter systolic blood pressure difference in blacks maintained. And I've done a lot of clinical trials, and you have too. And we've seen this persistently, where blacks don't respond as well to monotherapy with ACE inhibitors, ARBs, and beta blockers. Some of it may be driven by weight and sodium. We don't control for those in a trial. So you enlarge your trial heterogeneity, and you may see that some of this stuff ameliorates, but there were a number of blacks in ALLHAT, and the difference did persist.
We had, as you well know, 35% African Americans in ALLHAT.
Yes.
And I've asked about why that was, and the reason was is we couldn't get 55%.
You want to oversample. Yeah. There was the LIFE trial, which was a losartan intervention trial, and it was stage 2 hypertension with left ventricular hypertrophy in the LIFE trial. There were 9,000 patients, 533 self-identified blacks. And the losartan, which helped an overall cohort decrease cardiovascular disease, primarily driven by stroke, went the wrong way in the blacks.
Does that mean we shouldn't use ARBs?
No, it's the opposite. It means that you shouldn't do retrospective analysis and get a type 1 error of undersampled populations in a study because it misleads you.
Exactly.
You shouldn't say, well, let's look at the life. The blacks didn't do that well, so don't use losartan.
We used to call that data dredging.
Yeah, it's in the label. Yeah. If you look at the label for losartan, it says that this has been shown to decrease cardiovascular events, primarily driven by stroke.
Do you think cardiologists look at labels?
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should more. Now, what do you think of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the Affordable Care Act may actually be a step forward. We have a lot of pushback, and there are a lot of different names that people give it. But the uninsured status is one of the worst predictors you have for outcomes. So if you look at people, not based on race, ethnicity, but based on socioeconomic status, the social determinants of health, having insurance, having identifiable source of care, appropriate referral to specialists, those disparities predict outcomes just like race, ethnicity, which I think may be a surrogate for some of those social determinants.
It's a moral imperative to insure people in a country
like this. Yeah, I mean, docs, we need to be paid. It's a hard thing to be a doctor. To be a specialist takes additional training. But this idea that there's something bad about giving insurance to people who are uninsurable, many of them who are patients with diabetes, heart disease, mental disorders. I mean, that's got to be a good thing.
I was a medical student in 1964 when Medicare started. And the AMA at that time, and doctors in general, were very much against having this. And that's when doctors started to get rich. You know, lawyers talk about pro bono. We do pro bono all the time. We don't turn people away because they can't pay, and that's how it should be.
Well, you know, before I got into academic medicine, I spent over two decades working in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, and I took all comers, and I treated a high-risk African-American population. I think the social determinants of health, being able to afford a physician visit, being able to afford medications, being able to afford the copay, even if you're working in the hotel industry, the service industry in New Orleans, for instance, some people don't have full-time jobs.
Yeah.
They say that they're a waiter. They say they're a busboy. But when the Super Bowl leaves, when the Final Four leaves, they say, Joe, we don't need you next week. You can go home.
That's right.
They don't have benefits.
Yeah.
And that lack of benefits has a profound influence over the person's ability to take medications and adhere to medications.
And it keeps people away. They don't want to face the embarrassment of not being able to pay.
That's correct.
And then they end up coming in when they're really sick.
Well, when do you go to the doctor? When you're sick? When are you sick? When you're swelling, you can't breathe, you have chest pain. So now we're treating end-stage renal disease. And in the Medicare registry, 33% of the people that we pay for, the working people pay for, are African Americans. It's only 12 to 13% of the population, so three times more than would be predicted by population. And you are paying for it because we guarantee $80,000, $100,000 a year for those persons, whereas if we had controlled their blood pressure, we had controlled the diabetes, they wouldn't be on dialysis.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much.
Henry, thank you.